Live from the Bills' famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Now, we've got a little bit of a different scenario here tonight as Tuna is off taking a well-earned break from life in Louisville, the 1,000-degree days that we've been having with 200% humidity. I'm going to get into a little bit of where he's at and some things that apparently he's been doing on his trip here in a little bit that has been on the text thread. So sitting in with us tonight in Tuna's place is someone who has been here, a friend of the show. He's been here a few times before. They call him Happy. His name's Chad McCubbin. Chad, we're glad to have you down here tonight. Welcome to the Blockout.
Awesome. Thank you for having me. Greatly appreciate definitely hearing Fred Benders.
And speaking of Freddie, Mr. Brazil is bellied up to the bar. He is the fabulous one, Freddie Bender.
I got my Brazil shirt on just for all the Brazil teams in the FIFA Club World Cup going on, these smaller teams that are playing so damn good. I thought I would just kind of throw the Brazil shirt on because there's so many players from Brazil that are playing everywhere on these teams. It's on these club teams that are just unbelievable.
Yeah, and that's something tonight we're going to, because there's not really, I mean, now I say there's not really a whole lot going on. NBA free agency is in full swing. Couple things we're going to get to later on in the program that are of particular interest to me and a lot of the people that I know in Indianapolis that are Pacers fans. We're going to get to that in a little bit. The main thing we're going to focus on tonight is the two soccer tournaments that are going on here in the United States, the Gold Cup and the FIFA Club World Cup, which we've touched on the last couple weeks on this show, but now that we're the Gold Cup is in the semifinals, which are tomorrow night, Wednesday night. We record this on Tuesday, and the Club World Cup is in the quarterfinals right now, and we're going to get into that, get into the weeds into that a little bit here just in a bit. Before we go any further, I want to remind everybody we are on social media, on Facebook and on Twitter/X, Blockout Sports Pod, Blockout Pod. Just look us up. You can find our latest episodes are always posted there. And occasionally, if I remember or am in the right mood, I will send a tweet out here or there. But give us a like or a follow. If you enjoy the show, please tell a friend. That is how this show grows. So, as I said before, the two things that are going on that I know Fred and I have really been paying relative close attention to, Freddie knows the ins and outs of the different players and stuff a lot more than I do. But I have really enjoyed, especially this last week, these two soccer tournaments. They are, for those of you that don't really follow it, they are two separate tournaments. There is a the Gold Cup, which is like the CONCACAF, the Teams of the Americas type tournament, which is down to the Final Four, which is United States, Guatemala, Mexico, and who does Mexico play?
Honduras.
And then the Club World Cup, which is teams from FIFA that are the club teams, like your professional teams, that have qualified to get into this tournament. And they are, it's kind of a precursor to the big World Cup, kind of a trial run, I would say, for a lot of the different venues that are going to be hosting and things like that. And while they are playing the same sport, there are some fairly large differences in these in these two tournaments in terms of style of play and maybe quality of play to a certain extent.
Talent.
Talent, perhaps. As we've talked about, like, some of the guys that would be playing for the United States in the Gold Cup are actually playing in this club World Cup.
Right, right.
Not, I don't believe there's any vice versa. I don't think there's any vice versa. I don't think there's anybody that could be playing in the Club World Cup that decided to play in the Gold Cup instead.
No, and there was one left, actually, and that was Weston McKennie, and they lost today.
Okay.
So there will be, there are none.
But, man, there's been some really great drama, some really good soccer, to be honest with you, especially in the Club World Cup. And so I thought we would start there first, Fred, with what you've seen from this Club World Cup. We had kind of talked about earlier, like, there kind of a lack of, it seemed like there was a lack of fan interest to a certain extent, but I think a lot of that's gone away.
Oh, God.
I mean, yeah. The crowds have been really good and super into it.
Oh, man, yeah.
And, man, there's been some high drama these last several days, right?
Yeah, and you know, I do want to apologize to some of the big soccer fans that are on there that were listening to our last couple shows that it seemed like we were out of whack on all that. And, dude, that's what happens. Like, you've got the College World Series going on. You've got, which was great till the end, with LSU winning that. And then you've got the Pacers that were in this great battle with to game seven, and SGA and then prevailed with the Thunder. And it's hard to start jumping into a soccer tournament in only its second or third year, which is what this Club World Cup is, instead getting away from all the friendlies that would go on. And but with it being in the United States, we had to get into it, and I knew I was going to. And I think we laughed at some of the teams that were in it that we didn't really know, Botafogo and Benfica and some of these teams, Miami and the Seattle Sounders, and teams that we just didn't know about 100%, along with the Giants. And now that we've been through a lot of it and had time to catch up, and I've had time to catch up, I jumped right into it. I think, Travis, you and I both got the app, and once I started taping everything and going back and watching it in the middle of the night till 3 a.m, I did some great catching up and finding out who played where and who, and watching the games, and it's just been phenomenal. The crowds of some of these smaller Brazilian teams and Mexican teams, and the Argentinian teams are already have lost, but and we'll get to the Saudi Arabian team, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But right now we've got six that are, we're down to our final eight, and the last two games are tonight, or the last game is tonight for that final eight slot, and I guess that would be considered the quarterfinals.
Correct.
And if you are out, when you're, when it goes, that means when you're in the knockout stage, that means that you have two sudden death overtimes and then penalties. Whereas the Gold Cup, you go straight to penalties after the match is over.
Just a quick correction. It's not sudden death.
Right.
It's two extra time
overtimes. Yes. Right. I don't want to say sudden death. Right. Yeah.
Because there was two goals scored.
Right.
Three goals scored. Yeah. In the game last night.
In
the extra time.
But, and I don't want to confuse them. We'll talk about that in the Gold Cup when we get to it. But yeah, you have in one bracket the Palmeiras, which is a smaller Brazil. Not small. They're big. They're from Rio de Janeiro, and I'm sure they've been partying in the streets.
Oh, yeah.
To the nighttime hours after winning their game. Fluminense is from Rio de Janeiro. And them beating Inter Milan, which is just a giant. So you have Palmeiras and Chelsea going against each other for the final four. You have Fluminense and Al Hilal from who both of those upset Inter Milan and Manchester City. Giants, maybe the number two and three greatest club teams in the world. You have PSG, who beat Messi and Suarez in Miami and destroyed them. PSG is probably Paris Saint-Germain, the number one club team in the world, I would say, arguably. And then Bayern Munich plays PSG on the other side for that final four spot. And then today you had Real Madrid and Juventus, two giants. Real Madrid wins 1-0 just a little while ago. And tonight at 9 o'clock, Borussia Dortmund versus Monterrey. And Monterrey is a smaller style team, even though they're huge in the country, in Mexico. They are playing Borussia Dortmund for that slot. So they'll go against Real Madrid. And, oh, my God, just some of the games we can go into. Chelsea's looked fantastic. PSG and Bayern Munich have all looked great. Okay? But last night, I thought a couple days ago, Manchester City looked like the best, put together one of the best matches I've ever seen, winning 5-1 against the team they played. And I'm just like, how can this team be stopped? There's just no way.
And it really wasn't even as close as 5-1 would indicate.
No, the
second half was an absolute masterclass.
They toyed around and just... I mean, the players on Manchester City are just unbelievable. Top three in every category. Some the best in the world at their position. I would say Chelsea really doesn't have maybe a great player. I mean, wait a minute. They have great players. But as far as maybe the best players in the world, I would say that they don't. But when you put Real Madrid, who does, and you put PSG, who does, and Manchester City, who does, and Bayern Munich, you get what I'm saying. But I guess I can't wait to see Palmeiras go against Chelsea. That will be another David versus Goliath. But let's get into this game last night. Manchester City won their game, like we said, 5-1, toying with this team. You know, Manchester City has some of the greatest players in the world. Haaland, I mean, you can just go through Doku, Savinho, Anuri, Cherki of Algeria, Anuri of France, Savinho of Brazil, Rodri of Spain, Doku of Belgium, Bernardo Silva of Portugal, Mamouche of Egypt. I mean, unbelievable. And they go up against the Al Hilal. And the Al Hilal is out of Saudi Arabia. They're not small time. They're thought of greatly in Saudi Arabia. A lot of players go to Saudi Arabia that don't go to the United States when they get older. Ronaldo's playing over there right now. And I think they've got a lot of money there. So I think they've upped it, but they've got a couple great players over there that play for Senegal, like Koulibaly and Leonardo and Malcolm that play for Brazil and Marcus. But dude, never in a million years did I think that that game last night, that was one of the greatest games, club games I've ever seen, right after I thought I'd seen the best match with Man City, and Al Hilal does nothing but pull a 4-3 upset. David versus Goliath beats the best team, our second best team in the world. Chad watched it with me. Travis, I know you watched it.
Oh, of course.
I've never seen a team that, now here's the thing that gets me with Manchester City at the beginning. So I'm looking at the beginning of the game and I'm like, man, so this same team that whooped, that won 5-1 is going to come out here and they're just going to score three goals quick on Al Hilal. Well, little do I know that some of these great players that make this team great, and it's not because of yellow cards. I tried to do the research. Maybe I did some of it wrong, but I don't think that a lot of this was yellow card related, where you sit a game and you have to sit out a game and this, that, and the other, because these players later came in as substitutions. But if you're not going to start a game after you dominated 5-1, and you're going to sit players like Cherki, one of the Ballon d'Or winners of last year, Rodri of Spain, who's coming off an injury, but he has looked really good. Aaron Haaland. I just went down the list and I'm looking at these players that are not playing for Man City. And I'm thinking, Marmoush of Egypt. How can you have these guys not out there playing when they're pumping on all cylinders? And I still am asking that question. If someone can ever get back with me on that, I would like to know. Because those players did not start. And what happens? But Al Hilal gets momentum and starts playing the game of their life. And they just did. Man City just didn't have their same flow going until Haaland and those guys got in. And like Chad didn't know who Cherki was. He gets in immediately and has one of the most beautiful assists you've ever seen.
Yeah.
For a goal.
Like, immediately.
Immediately.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what is going on? Now here's the deal. That said, you've got to get Al Hilal, you know, their goalkeeper, Bono, played out of his mind.
Dude, he made, especially in the first half, I mean, he kept them in a position where they could come out, like, because they came out in the second half and scored boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
But that game could have been 4-0.
Right, right.
But he made some of the best saves of the tournament.
But the way the coaching went, it seemed like everything Man U tried to do, everything Man City tried to do, Al Hilal literally had an answer for everything they tried. Did they not?
They did. One of the most amazing things I saw at the end of the game, one of the stats, 4 corner kicks for the whole game for them.
Yes.
I mean, that's
they
amazing.
Only had 4 corner kicks. You know how many corner kicks Man City had? 19. 19 corner kicks.
Wow.
Man City had 30 shots to Al Hilal's 17. Now, Al Hilal had way more on goal. But, man, when you start looking at that, it just blows you away. As the game went on, there were so many crazy things that happened, too. Of course, you go through the cards and people getting hurt and people, you know, the ball went deflated at one point. I've never seen that ever in a match. Nope. We're like, the freaking ball just went deflated.
And we were talking about it before we went on air. Like, I would have thought that the ball getting deflated or getting, you know, flat in the middle of the match would have been something that, like, caused the announcers to pause and maybe make it. But they were just like, hey, it looks like the ball went flat.
I'm throw another ball in.
What do you mean the ball went flat?
How did the ball go?
Can you imagine, like, in the NBA finals, the guy dribbling up the court and just goes,
yeah. But after you see some of these shots, but what I'm, and I'll get to what I'm finding out in both these tournaments, what's happening with the winners and the losers. But Al-Hilal, just, they come down, and right when you think that this is going into a penalty kick situation, they come in. I think it was Leonardo that scored the game winner. He had two goals in that game and got man of the match, of course. And what does he do? He puts it in off a deflection and literally runs up and grabs the corner flag, throws his shirt off, puts it on the flag, and waves it in the air. And I'm thinking, this dude's getting ready to get a red card. I don't know. I've never seen it in my life. And no, we just got a yellow, and it was pretty freaking awesome. But what do you say to a game like that? I mean, it was just a David versus Goliath. If you think that in some of these small Brazilian and Mexican teams are celebrating in the streets, what do you think they were doing in Dubai or around Saudi Arabia? I mean, that is like maybe the greatest club upset that probably, I can remember.
Probably not drinking.
No, maybe not drinking. Driving fast cars or something. I don't know. But, dude, just unbelievable. Just in the Real Madrid win today over Juventus. 21 shots on goal. Real Madrid, 6 for Juventus. Who wins? Real Madrid. And their goalie also played fantastic, I have to say. But Valverde had a great goal today. Gonzalo had a great goal today, Valverde. But, man, they shot from far out, and they shot a lot. And, you know, how do you score a goal, guys?
You kick it at the net.
How do you score a goal? You got to shoot it first.
Fire away.
Okay, some of these teams, like Inter, could not get any shots off. They only had 4 out of 16 shots on target when Fluminense beat them. I mean, if you get into some of these games, PSG is moving the ball around fantastically. Bayern Munich, that is going to be one hell of a match. I can't wait to see that. But what I'm finding out, guys, is the teams that shoot the most, and I'm talking these smaller, like Monterrey and Palmeiras and all them, the teams that shoot the most are winning the most. And I'm talking about from far out. The last time I was on here, I was a little ticked off. And I was like, you can't make a goal unless you shoot it. And there is a lot of ticky-tacky going on. Ticky-taka, I call it ticky-tacky. But there's too much small-time touches where, look, hey, if you're outside the box or past the midline and you've got an open shot, test the goalie out, man. The deflections, none of these goalies rarely catch the ball. They bat it back out. They have to.
And that's since you brought that up on the show last week, it's something I've really been paying attention to.
Yeah.
And I've seen like 4 goals since last week's program where guys just launched it at the net and it would, you know, banged off the back of a guy's leg or off the guy back of a guy's shoulder and it shoots the other way and goes in the net.
Right.
Like at least 4 goals I've seen that way.
Right. And you can separate the great players and the world-class players because the great players or the good players, they don't have a left foot. They have not worked on their left foot enough where they can shoot from both sides. And you know what I say? Words like quality, world class come to play when you're watching a match. Every time the announcer, the color guy, is going to say that. And what that means is that you just, you can one touch a ball from over the half pitch line and outside the box, and you can score on a volley in the air, a ball coming a different direction, or just pop it on goal. That is what world class is. That is what quality is. Quality also is finding the lines. Guys that are on the outside moving up the field, and instead of passing it to the outside to them, you split the defenders with the ball, and you're like, where's that ball going to? It's going to space. Space is a huge word I try to teach my son and them when we're practicing soccer. Kick it to space, and the winger will run to the ball and can get there faster than a defender backing up. Those are world-class plays. When you're kicking it to a certain point and wanting the guy to go after the ball, not kicking it to him and have him making a move, even though some of these guys have some of the best moves in the world. Ain't Nori comes to mind, Savinho. But I'm just telling you that it's just unbelievable. It really is. The different, and I guess we can get into, we can get out of that. Now that we've kind of named all the teams that are playing, I just want everyone to know that these games in the World Cup are on TBS and they're on TNT. They are, literally on July 4th, 5th. Correct. Yes, on the 4th and the 5th, and then the final is the 8th and the 9th, and in New York City is the final. They're at 3. Sometimes they're at 12 noon and 3 o'clock. Sometimes they're at 12 and 4. Is that right? 12 and 4, and then they're at 3 and 9.
Right.
Like tonight
and,
the game's
and
at
how
9.
I've just been Googling World Cup, Club World Cup, to figure out what games are on, and they've also, if you want to go back and watch any of these games, you can go back on the
highly recommend
on the
it.
DAZN DAZN app. And
easy
it's
to get to. If Freddie can get to it, you all can get to it.
I was just about to say it. It's even
free.
It's even Freddie proof. He's able to figure out how to make it work. You can go back there and watch all these games. That you can also, they have highlight shows.
Oh, great documentaries on Ronaldinho, Gary Lineker, Alaa, or what's his name from
Mo Salah.
Mo Salah. Just there's some really cool documentaries too. But I just want to say PSG, I had Man City. I predicted Man City to win this. But I got to tell you, let's go through here before we get off of this. Who do you guys have? Let's go through this quarterfinal and just tell me who do you guys think are going to win tonight between Monterrey and Borussia Dortmund? Travis, you got any idea? I mean, Borussia has a lot of Germans, obviously. They've got a lot of great players. Have you watched Monterrey play at all?
No. But here's what I'm going to say. I have found myself in all of these games
pulling for the underdog.
As I always do. Basically, if I've never really, and you know me, I like the game of soccer. I enjoy all these tournaments, especially when it's the national teams and at the highest level of these club teams. It's been wonderful theater, as I said. But I don't pay attention enough to know who a lot of these other teams are. So the way I've been doing it, typically, is if I don't really know the name of the team and they're playing and they're playing somebody that I do know the name of the team,
right,
I root for the team that I don't know the name of.
Exactly.
So tonight, I'm Team Monterrey.
Okay, I'm with you.
even though, didn't Tuna last week say Borussia Dortmund was his.
Yes. Was his team. He's pulling for them for sure.
Yeah, okay.
And Monterrey has a couple, one of the greatest defensive men ever for Spain, Sergio Ramos.
Oh, see,
plays on there.
I didn't know
for
that.
Monterrey. Okay. Yes, that is. This is in Mexico. That they have a.
Ramos. I mean, we've talked about him.
Yeah,
at length during the World Cup.
Right, Jesus Corona. They've got some really good. They've got good players, but
These teams. You know what?
What I love about Monterrey is they take shots from deep. They do not waste time. I love it. Just running into some of these players that I was not aware of that I kind of forgot about. But there is a player they call Kavara, and his name I never will be able to pronounce. But Karatashikla, he's from Georgia, not to be confused with the state of Georgia.
No. I don't think anybody's making
but this
that mistake.
This guy for PSG, and Hakimi for Turkey, and Vitinha from Portugal, and Neves. And Mendes, Bradley Barola, Dominic Due, Dembele. I mean, this team has so many people. PSG, they are the champions of the UEFA. I am looking at this, guys. I'm going to go ahead and give you my deal. I'm going Al Hilal makes the final. Okay.
Well, that's who I'm rooting for, I think.
Al Hilal, I think Chelsea will beat Palmeiras, and I think Al Hilal will beat Fluminense, and I think Al Hilal and Chelsea will go at it, and I think they will pull the upset again. And I think PSG will beat Bayern Munich, and I'm going to say that Borussia will come out on Monterrey tonight. I think Real Madrid will go against PSG, and I think PSG will go against Al Hilal, and that will be – you want to talk about David versus Goliath?
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. I might go find myself an Al Hilal shirt.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Because these guys, I'm like, how are they beating –
I loved their coach too.
Oh yes. Oh, dude, tell them who he was. Chad's going. Say it, Chad.
Me and Jerry were watching, and the guy, immediately as soon as I saw him, I was like, is that Ralph Macchio?
Yeah.
Like on the side of crying.
He is so funny. That guy was, he was throwing people in.
Then he started getting sweaty on the sideline, and then literally Fred goes, that might be Arthur. So I don't know.
He has a little Dudley Moore to him.
Well, and he was, I mean, not that all these guys don't, but he was really wearing his emotions on his sleeve. And, when they would score, it was like the greatest moment of his life. And when they got scored against, it was like, somebody just ran over his dog. I mean, there was no in between.
Right.
And I just thought it was great.
Dude, what happened with Al Hilal that just blew me away was the quality of their players picked up.
Yeah.
And they were juking
their passes.
The Manchester City. Oh, dude. I mean, dude, Neves for Al Hilal. Dude, unbelievable player. Travis, you saw some of his passes.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, just these long balls that are on the money, world-class passes to beat the defenders in their heels. Just unbelievable. But anyways, that will be in New York. I can't wait to see that on the 13th of July. Let's get into the club. I highly recommend you all go back and watch a couple of the big upsets. But anyways, make sure you guys are watching the FIFA World Cup Club World Cup tournament. I mean, the only USA player, like I said, who's no longer there with Juventus, Weston McKennie. Matter of fact, when they lost Juventus, he barely played today. When they played the other game, he when Manchester City trounced them when there was still a another game to be played.
Right,
they weren't out of the tournament. That was a knockout.
The group stage.
I thought he played fantastic in that game. I thought he was the best player on Juventus' squad. So that's really, as we get into this Gold Cup now, it really makes me feel good that Weston McKennie, although tired, is in great shape.
Right.
And looking good for us as we move into the World Cup. He will be a starter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. For sure.
And I'm going to hit on some of that because I have my order. You know how Lawless does his order of players?
Yep.
I got my order of U.S. players.
And so with that, now, here's the thing. And I don't want to get into, because we all know, I mean, even someone that's a relatively casual fan of soccer will be able to tell the difference in the quality of play between the FIFA Club World Cup and the Gold Cup. But now that we've gotten into the knockout stages of the Gold Cup, while the quality of play clearly isn't as good, the drama and the theater of this tournament has been off the charts. We're watching the TV behind the bar here has the United States Costa Rica game from the other night, which was just drama of the highest order. I mean, when you got into that shootout and all that, and the Canadian team getting beat by Guatemala was like
another penalty kick.
And you want to talk about a David versus Goliath type,
right?
Not that Canada is. Remember what I said about Canada on the last podcast? I said, they're a fine team. They could maybe win the tournament.
I predicted them to win the tournament.
But,
remember?
But they're not like Argentina or Brazil. I don't want you to get that. But compared to Guatemala, what they were like, it was like the 100-and-something ranked team in the world against the 30th ranked team in the world.
Right, right. Yeah,
like
Guatemala
that.
Is ranked 103
okay.
in the world, and Canada is 30.
Okay. Wow. But so let's get into that a little bit and talk about what you've seen here in the Gold Cup.
Well, I think that the team that has looked the best, in all honesty, out of these four, and you know who I thought looked the best? Panama. But they lost in penalties to Honduras.
Right.
So you've got to give Honduras credit. Panama was putting a lot of goals on the board. They had the highest goal scorer. Quite frankly, Mexico, although they have great players, young and old and experienced, they have gotten away with a lot of strange goals to win games. A lot of own goals. They've only scored on set pieces. I haven't seen them score many world-class goals, if you will, except the one that was taken away from the sub
on
the half-shot bicycle. The side scissor kick. You'll have to go back and see that one. But anyways, Mexico is ranked number 17 in the world. They beat Saudi Arabia 2-0 on nothing that was really that great. A couple decent goals, but nothing spectacular. They play Honduras, who's number 75 in the world. They beat Panama on penalties, and Honduras is a team that has nothing to lose. Okay, so the U.S. and Mexico, the big rivals, they're playing two teams that have nothing to lose. USA is somehow, don't ask me how, ranked number 16 in the world. They are not close to that. Guatemala 103, as we already said, and they beat Canada in penalties. I thought Canada did a horrible job with the penalties. They had players that hadn't even played in the game up there. They had a freaking 18-year-old or whatever to go last. Poor kid. He's the one that missed it.
And he, not only did he look like he was 10 years old, he looked petrified.
Yes.
When he walked out there.
Yeah. He totally did.
That was the least surprising miss of all time.
And what did Guatemala look like? maybe the best penalty team I've seen since the World Cup.
Well, they clearly were so loose. They were so loose.
Every kick was like had a little pizzazz to it.
To the point where, and Fred and I were talking on our text thread. The one guy did like it looked like if I tried to kick a penalty as hard as I could. And it, you know, like just barely went off my foot.
Yeah.
It was, he hit it like 10 miles an hour.
He chipped
it. Straight at the goalie. Just chipped it.
He chipped it with backspin.
The goalie dives one way and he chips it like 5 miles an hour and just kind of like.
Straight.
Kind of just like. He goes just like jogging.
And then he goes, ah.
Yeah. I mean, there was such a, you could clearly tell the team that had all the pressure.
Right, right. Guatemala went in there. Laughing, happy, nothing to lose. And you know what? For Mexico and the USA, that's scary. Okay? You've got two teams that are up and coming, and I think Guatemala is not as good as Honduras, but they are an up and coming team. They have broken some records that they've never done before. And I mean, they never beat the 30th team in the world, that's for sure.
We should also mention that the reason why A lot of these games are going to penalties. Is that in this tournament?
Yes.
After regular time, there is no extra time. It goes straight to penalties,
which I think is kind of fun.
Well, it's different. It's different.
And it
certainly ratchets up. Like it. I'm sure the reason they do it is from the dramatic standpoint. It ratchets up the drama because you're looking, go, man, it's 3 more minutes and we're going to penalty.
And
it,
and it's definitely substitutions,
right,
and things like that.
Right.
And I'm
right.
still baffled by, even in the club World Cup, some of these games that have where the substituting is so strange. Like in the Gold Cup, some of the substituting for these games, I'm still a believer in players that have been on the pitch for at least 10 minutes kicking the penalty kick. I am totally against bringing in someone that has literally just come in the game and have them have to kick, or someone that has not even come into the game that you choose to kick without warming up or sweating or anything. I disagree with that 100%. I think it's an advantage for you to have been in the game to be one of the penalty shooters. But as far as this game goes, I want to get into the U.S. a little bit because we don't care about Mexico or Honduras. I really want to play Mexico. I want the USA to win, and I want to play Mexico.
Of course.
And that's what we want. But there is a David versus Goliath in both of these to a certain extent. For Honduras and Guatemala, they've never, you know, Mexico and the USA have won the world, they're defending champs. We've won it the year before. We have won this tournament. So, what do you, Travis or and Chad, what are your, how do you think the USA is playing right now? Because look, I know the listeners and some of my buddies were like, well, you've been down on the US big time. And you know what? I have been. And you know what? The whole world was, and anyone that knew anything about soccer, was down because we lost 3 games in a row. I mean, when you have a new coach and you lose 3 games in a row, I don't care what's going on. That is damn near hitting rock bottom. And I think we did hit rock bottom because when we were losing, we started looking. It was right when the club, right when PSG won the UEFA, and then we figured out that Pulisic wasn't going to play, and Giovanni Buzio was hurt, and Cardosi, aka Johnny, was hurt, and Anthony Robinson is hurt, and Sergio Dest was hurt, and McKinney was playing in this club tournament. And, you know, we're like, well, they're not coming to the Gold Cup. So then everyone got mad at them, too. And it's like, It just was a big mess. You know what I mean? And somehow the dust has settled and we have come out of that mess.
I think of this team as like the USA B team.
Okay, yeah, well, right.
Certainly.
And they're playing
and they're
like they're A minus right now.
Right. Thank you. Yes.
And also I think the time of like weeping and gnashing of teeth about like this is not now and when you get to this point in this tournament. Now leave it to the pundits to do this, but as a player and as a coach and that you are not thinking about the World Cup or anything like that. Now you've gotten to this point with an opportunity to win a trophy and
make the World Cup team.
No matter how poorly you might have played, no matter who you've played to get here, all that is out the window now. You have two games to win a trophy and possibly play your most hated rival in the final.
Who hasn't played that great.
Right. And that to have an opportunity in where is the final of this? I don't remember where
the Gold Cup final is either. If the club is in New York, I would say Dallas, maybe.
I'm going to look that up real quick.
Could it be in Dallas? It's either up north or down I think or out west.
It has to
could
be
in California.
Out west.
It's in Houston.
Yeah. Houston, okay.
It's in Houston. They're playing it at and so there will be a large contingent of Mexican fans there. There will be a lot of it will be a great atmosphere there. If that ends up happening, and I said it on last week's episode, selfishly, that's what I wanted to see. That makes for the best story. It makes for the best theater. It makes for the most drama. And so I certainly am. Of course, I'd be all in on the United States anyway. But I'm going to grit my teeth and hope that Mexico wins as well.
I want to make a note that I made a mistake. I forgot because I thought that he was on loan, but Giovanni Reina plays for Dortmund.
Oh, okay.
So he's still alive.
Okay.
He is still alive
there
in that tournament.
There you go.
I thought he went on loan, but he did not. And I thought that's one of the reasons that he wasn't playing with us because I knew he wasn't hurt.
Our crack research staff
and
picked
thought,
up on that.
Well,
up on
yeah,
that.
Well,
nice.
I actually was looking it up because I was like, wait a minute. I was looking at my list of USA players and I'm like, you know, I need to double check that because I know that he played for Borussia Dortmund.
That's what I meant by our crack research
staff.
One of us looked it up.
But I'm gonna. but right now, while we're talking about the U.S., I want to go through our players
please.
I think.
I've
rated our players, and I'm gonna go down my list. This is like Lala says. This is my list. If you don't like it, make your own list.
Well, you did.
At the top of our list, I have Christian Pulisic. Okay. You're like, wait a minute. He's not playing. It doesn't matter. I'm making the USA list of the best players that we have. Okay. And I'm going down who's playing now, who's not playing, who's playing in the club tournament. I'm going to go Christian Pulisic, who is obviously one of our MVPs. He's been our MVPs in the World Cup, the CONCACAF, Gold Cup. We know what he's capable of doing, okay? I would go Weston McKennie, number two for Juventus, who has been playing great, in my opinion, in the club World Cup, although he sometimes plays more minutes and other times he starts, sometimes he doesn't. I would go Giovanni Reina for Borussia Dortmund, who does the same. He will start sometimes. Sometimes he comes off the bench. Sometimes he doesn't play at all. After that, I go, most importantly, Tyler Adams, I think, is our number one defending type player that is one of our most important I think he is a definite starter and on that roster. And I think Anthony Robinson is also one of our big defenders. Now, he is coming off knee surgery, so I'm not sure how that's going to work right now. But obviously, when we get to the World Cup, we are going to need the skill and the wherewithal and everything of Anthony Robinson. I mean, let's be real. Tim Ream is a physical beast out there trying his hardest, but he needs help. I mean, he's coming up on, I forgot how old he is. He's in his late mid-30s. So Anthony Robinson is someone that is familiar with our team. He's been a starter. Next in line, in my opinion, the best player, most important player in the Gold Cup, Chris Richards. I think he's playing fantastic. He scored, I think, one goal, maybe two. I think one, but he's been everywhere, and he has played really good. My MVP of the team, even though Chris Richards gets that, the guy that makes our team with a little bit of world class, I don't think Chris Richards brings world class to our team. I think he's a great player, but we need someone with quality that makes those passes that are going to space, that makes that can hit the ball off a volley, one touch, that has a little fight in him, da da da. And that is Diego Luna for sure. The little biscuit is what I call him. He is the fiery biscuit. Diego Luna
had a goal in this game the other night.
In the other night, was taken off. I think he should be taking penalties for us, but he was taken off the field. He wasn't happy about it.
Yeah.
And Diego Luna needs to stay on the damn field. I know that sometimes he can be a defensive lineman, but he is quick, and he can get around places, and he is the best distributor on our team, in my opinion, until Pulisic gets there. And maybe he's better anyway. I think whatever Giancarlo Buzio was playing great for us in the CONCACAF. He was the distributor and the goal scorer. And I don't know where he's disappeared to, but I know that he is hurt. But I do not know anything other than that. I don't know what his injury is. I don't know if he's on the team, off the team. I don't know what's going on, but Buzio is a great player. Next in line, Johnny Cardosi, a.k.a. Johnny. you know, Johnny Cardosi, I think, is a player that Cardoso. I'm sorry, I'm pronouncing it wrong. But you know he's a great defensive player. He also has he plays for Real Betis, and he when you play in La Liga, you've got a little quality to you. You know what I mean? If you're playing against Barcelona, Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid, you've got a little quality. You've been around some of the greats. I do think that Johnny is a player that we need now. He has an ankle injury and is not playing right now. Tim Ream, he's our defender. He's most important. He has had some really good outlet passes. Have y'all noticed that?
Yep.
Down the line, I thought he's done a really good job. I know him and the goalie sometimes he has a stupid mishap with the goalie, but a goalkeeper. But next in line, and I'm sure you all were waiting for this, Malik Tillman. Malik Tillman has scored three goals. He missed his penalty kick, the first one that he's had in competition, maybe large competition. He stood too close to the ball. It just wasn't a good kick. He made his second one, and it mattered. So he redeemed himself. I thought it was good that they put him back in. His confidence is up. Malik Tillman is a guy that can put the ball in the net. That's what we got to have. Patrick Ayayang, he makes dumb mistakes and he trips over himself sometimes and this and that. But he's a handful for defenders to deal with. Sebastian Burhalter, who is barely making the team. I think he's on the team. His set pieces are unbelievable. He's got this toughness. You all know who I'm talking about. Dude, he's a little firecracker, and he ain't scared of nobody, and I like him.
The son of the former coach.
Of the former coach.
And
dude, I love that kid.
I felt terrible when he missed his PK the other night, and Greg was up there, and his sisters were up there. Thank God they won, because his sisters were like in total mental breakdown.
And you know what? I wondered if the set pieces that he's been taking messed with his kick. Obviously, he's kicking the ball on a spin when he makes his set pieces and the ball's in the air. You know what I mean? Kind of like Bruno and some of these other world-class players do. And I'm thinking maybe he didn't keep his head down enough. In order to keep the ball down, it's just like putting or hitting a golf ball.
I think
in order
the
to keep the soccer
said,
ball down, you got to keep your head down.
I think the announcer said he lifted his
head. His head, yeah. But I'd love this kid. I want him on our team. Sergio Dest, injury, knee, he's great. And then the Matt Freeze, I'm putting him on at the end. I don't think our goalkeeping has been good at all, except for the penalties. And then my favorite X player that I want to make the team that I think has a little quality that I've seen lately is Quinn Sullivan. I think that he has a couple nice little moves. He has some quality to him that other players that I have not. If I didn't mention someone on this list, I don't want him on the team. Okay. So, and the guys that are on the team right now that did make this list, I mean, well, now wait a minute. Obviously, there are a couple. Who's the guy for the Packers whose son plays? These guys are playing good. They're young. Yes, I like them. But there's a few guys out there that I do not think are playing well at all. One of them had an own goal, or one of them got beat badly. So anyways, those are my USA players. Guys, I think the USA and Mexico is going to be awesome. If we could get a battle between the two.
I hope so. And if you are listening, you're a big soccer fan, especially relative to the U.S. men's national team, and you have any issues with Fred or disagreements or agreements,
that's right,
hop on Twitter and let us know. We would love to hear from you. So, I know we've, that's pretty much, you know, we got an hour in on both those tournaments. I think that's a really good breakdown of where we're at relative to those. Quickly, because Tuna is not here tonight, I just wanted to give him a quick shout out and give you guys a bit of a heads up on where he is and what he might be doing. Now, I don't want to give too much information, because I'd hate for people to storm Tuna's campground and bother him while he's in his moment.
This is why Freddie hasn't thrown a jab at him yet, because Travis is getting ready to fill this up.
In his moment of solitude. But this is what I will say relative to Tuna's trip. he sent a few texts yesterday that referenced shooting machine guns with the deputy sheriff of an unnamed county.
Can't name the county. there's more.
Dog watching so he could go, so another unnamed person could go to the Texas Roadhouse in an unnamed city to, shall we say, fraternize with a woman of Filipino descent.
And I think, did he get hitched?
No. He also said, gosh, I don't know how to frame this. He said he may have met his future wife. I don't want to give too many details away, but
is she coming back with him?
Well, that's a great question. But it sounded like there was some tomfoolery going on at a local watering hole. Dollar General was involved.
Love's truck stop.
So, you know, it sounds like to me that Tuna is currently living his best life. And while we wish that he was down here in the Downstairs Pub Studios tonight, I have a feeling he is having a great time nonetheless. Fred, do you have anything to add to Tuna's travel?
No, I think that I replied back with a picture of the bandit and Sally Field with her wedding dress going out on the T-tops of the Trans Am. That's all I could figure as he was leaving with his possible bride-to-be. I don't think Buford T. Justice was following him in hot pursuit. But I am not sure if he even had a Diablo sandwich and a Dr. Pepper. But something's going down with machine guns and the county mounties and marriage, and it reminds me of Smokey and the Bandit.
So he may or may not be back next week, and he may or may not be back next week with his new bride in tow. If he is, we will make sure that she is introduced properly right here on this very program. And so, Tuna, we hope you're having a great time in all seriousness, and can't wait for you to be back on the program next week. Now, I have a few things. I typically don't at the end of the show, but I do have a few things to get into tonight. So with all that being said, we are going to do an early last call this evening. Chad, do you have anything here on last call?
I'm actually just sitting back and enjoying listening to everything. I'm pretty much up to date on everything with y'all, what y'all are talking about. I hope everyone else is.
I mean, you're pulling for the Cubs. You want the Cubs to have a good second half of the season, right?
It's early. I got to be a Cubs fan. It's way too early, even though it's almost all-star time.
Home run derby time.
I need to look into that. I'm kind of curious on the home run derby contestants, because that is coming up. You're right on that, Fred. Should be very interesting. I'm really enjoying watching Pete Crow Armstrong this year for the Cubs. He's been something I've been amazed at. But
yes.
Go USA, you know, in soccer, like we were talking about. Hopefully we can pull that out and play Sunday. Appreciate having Travis here guide us with everything going on. That's about it. Don't have any much more.
All right. And we thank you for coming down and sitting in Tuna's stead tonight. Freddie? Last call.
A few days ago, the Cincinnati Reds destroyed the San Diego Padres, I think 8-0, 7-0. And our buddy Gonzalez was on the mound to get one of the better things.
Gonzalez.
What was his name?
Nick Martinez.
Martinez. Yeah, sorry.
Jesus Christ.
Martinez,
our buddy.
That's him.
He's
our buddy. Our buddy Martinez.
Yeah, Gonzalez Martinez. One of those.
Solid buddy.
Yeah, one of those.
Was on the mound. You know, one thing that you hear us talk about all the time on here is when something's great's getting ready to happen, don't text anyone.
I know where this is going.
So because
I wasn't going to say
no, but this is what happens because we're all sports fans and we get so excited and we want to make sure, dude, if someone I know is not watching this, they're going to want to see it. So what do? You get on your text thread, and you're like, dude, we are in the top of the or bottom of the eighth, and we got a no-hitter going for the Reds, our team. Are you all watching? Da-da-da. Or you could also, and then I think I said, let's go, Reds. But you could also say, no-hitter in capital letters.
And that is what Colin did. And I immediately, now, let me preface this by saying that the last time something like this was going on, I sent out a text and said something to the effect of, there's no particular reason to turn it on, but if I was you, I would turn on the Reds game and just see this last half inning. Now, Fred sent something, you know, relatively cryptic out, you know, like, let's go Reds. What a... Colin immediately, and as he said, in all caps, no hitter, baby.
No hitter, baby.
So I immediately jumped on and I said, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And now there's no way this is going to happen. And of course,
off the wall.
Here it comes. Guy almost hits a home run. And I believe, and Colin can verify this upon listening to this, I believe he has already profusely apologized on our text thread, but we could not let that slide by without proper acknowledgement, sure.
And my next question is, do you think that the outfielder gave, because this has been discussed.
Yeah, that is.
I think that's ridiculous. Of course he went after the dumbest ball.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever
heard.
How
do you go after a player? You don't think that player wanted to try to get the ball?
No,
that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Thank
God he didn't break his neck going for it. But
he could have been like, I mean, he could have done a Bump Bailey.
Right. Yes, you know, and a like Bump Bailey.
Ran through the
wall.
But no.
Everybody still celebrated greatly because we whooped those Padres. I know Tuna liked it. I mean, he hates Padres.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another fact in that game was Steer.
Three for
almost
three.
I
thought he was going to hit that fourth.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to look that up when Tuna gets back. There's been quite a few four home run games. I don't think there's ever been a fifth. I don't think there's ever been a five home run game from anyone.
We'll get our crack research.
Well, speaking of the five home run thing, I want to there's been people have passed away. I want to give thoughts and prayers out to the great Dave Parker, who played for the Pittsburgh Pirates. We are family. I know he was a little after Willie Stargell, correct? Coming up. I don't think he was a...
He was on the World Series
team. Yeah, with Candelaria and all those guys. Yeah, Stargell.
Stargell was on the the star of that
he
team.
Was and so Dave Parker...
Parker, I had a poster on my wall as a kid because after the Pirates, he came and played for the Reds. And I had a poster that I got from Kroger on 2nd Street in Bloomington. Friends of mine will know that that have lived there will know that Kroger is Dirty Kroger, as every city has one. And I had a poster on my wall and it says, "The Cobra Strikes."
Yes, and that is the Cobra, known as the Cobra.
He just this last year had been elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's unfortunate that he passed away before he could make it, but
he knew
he
was
know
in.
That he was in. Got to acknowledge the fans in Pittsburgh,
and one of the great guys.
One of the all-time cool dudes.
Yeah.
There's a great
him
picture.
And Ricky.
There's a great picture of him from sometime in the 70s, and he's got like this kind of like this straw hat on in the dugout. He's smoking a cigarette. And he's wearing a T-shirt and it says, "If you hear any noise, it's just me and the boys bopping."
Yeah, nice.
Super cool.
But 7-time All-Star, 2 batting titles, great player. Dave Parker, also a Red, and he will be greatly missed. I want to say that someone else passed away. I'm trying to get
Lucas.
To.
Well, yeah, I was
D-Wayne.
Okay, yeah. Well, we're getting Travis is getting to that. So, anyways, here we go.
So I have a couple of things. First of all, I want to recognize my cousin, the Dubber, this past weekend. Had the opportunity to play and the member guest at his golf club. It was a first-class operation from top to bottom. Just had a fantastic time. Shout-out to all the guys at Hickory Stick in Greenwood for making that event happen. Secondarily, one of the nines played with a couple of guys, Mike and Kurt, both great guys. But Kurt was one of the few people that I've met in a long time that could go toe-to-toe and guy-for-guy with me with naming random Indiana football players.
Oh, wow.
And we went back and forth almost the whole nine holes. I gave him a Blockout Sports Pod magnet, told him to be sure and listen. Hopefully you are, Kurt.
Hopefully he likes soccer.
And well, and I told him, I said, I think you will get really into the show when college football
rolls
around.
Oh, yeah, baby.
But I wanted to give a shout-out to that. Quickly wanted to mention something that happened in the NBA today. Miles Turner signed a huge contract with the Milwaukee Bucks. Indiana was not going to offer him that kind of money and get into the luxury tax. We can debate the pros and cons of that. I'm not here to relitigate that. All I wanted to say is Miles Turner was the longest tenured Indiana Pacer. Miles Turner put up with a lot of bullshit from fans and media and so forth in Indianapolis. I never thought he really deserved it. I've always been a fan of his. I know he didn't play the way he wanted to play in the finals this year, but he will certainly, and I suppose this is yet to be seen, but I believe the Pacers as a franchise will miss him tremendously.
I agree.
And me personally as a fan, I will miss him tremendously. And I thank Miles Turner for everything that he gave to the city of Indianapolis and to the franchise of the Indiana Pacers. As Chad mentioned, we lost legendary horse trainer D'Wayne Lucas this week, affectionately known as the Coach, four-time Kentucky Derby winning trainer. I think...
A mammoth in horse racing.
How many? I think... I want to say, let's see, four, five, six, seven. He won in the 12 to 16-ish range of Triple Crown races, I believe. And up until the very end, Freddie and I saw him on the backside riding his horse, training horses this past year.
Oh, yeah.
On the backside at Churchill Downs. A truly, even if you don't really follow horse racing and you're a casual person, you probably recognize the name D'Wayne Lucas from a standpoint of me. He and Coach Knight were very close friends, and you know, they kind of shared a little bit of the same kind of sense of humor and maybe a little distrust of the media to a certain extent. Although Lucas was not quite as hot-headed as Coach Knight, but someone that in the annals of horse racing will certainly go down as one of the top trainers in the history of the sport. You have anything to add to the legacy of Dwayne Lucas?
Well, just one of my first horse winners was back in the day was Charismatic. That was one of the first horses I actually kind of cashed money on. I also won on Grindstone. So I was a huge Dwayne Lucas fan. And quite frankly, to be honest with you, my very first Derby win was Spend a Buck.
There you go.
Thunder Gulch.
And that was 1985. And one of the greatest horse names of all time, Thunder Gulch.
Yeah.
All connected with Dwayne Lucas. But I would see him. I could touch him many times. He was so close to me sitting on his loved horse that he had. I can't remember his name. But he would be out there either with a cowboy hat on or his riding hat. And he was so professional. And if you saw Dwayne Lucas up on his horse, buddy, you got out of the way. You shut up.
Damn right.
And you looked and you just watched him.
Almost
until he rode away. And what's that? until he rode away. We just sat. Did you fall off your horse?
Pretty much. I got all motivated there.
You did that this past weekend.
Thinking Winning Colors was his other Derby horse because he won four Derbies.
The Philly.
Yep.
You fell off your horse this weekend too, I think, didn't you?
Yeah, we're not going to get into that.
But anyways, Dwayne Lucas, I want to say end with a quote on him. This is one of his quotes. If you want to be happy in life, lower your expectations. If you want to be great, raise them.
That's a very well said, and we will end on that tonight. I want to thank Chad for stepping in for Tuna tonight.
I had one more thing.
Has one more thing. Here's the thing, Chad. We have done this show.
It's my fourth time, and I should have just remembered this happens.
Now, wait a minute. We have done this show some 130 episodes. I cannot tell you how many times we have a perfect ending spot. Like, perfect. Like, that was perfect. And then I look over. Freddie's waving his arms. He used to have this freaking flashlight he would flash at you, and now I'm just gonna say this had better be really, really good, Fred. The floor is yours.
No, I think we should end it. We should cut this.
Well, no. Now you have to tell us.
Well, I was disappointed, and dang, I meant to start with this. That's why I'm so disappointed in myself, but I wanted to give a shout out to two of our loyal listeners that we never gave them a proper shout out and congratulations on the LSU Tigers winning the College World Series. We went on and we kind of skipped past that last week.
Now, and that may be the only thing that you just pulled your ass right out of the fire,
thank
Fred.
You.
Because that, now you did mention earlier that LSU
right,
won the College
I,
World Series.
Right.
But now you can mention the friends of the program by name.
Right. I wanted to give Johnny and Josh and Haley, all of our Baton Rouge and our LSU crew, a congratulatory. I know they've watched the game from the first game. When we were watching college football, they brought over their phone and had it on the first LSU baseball
game. They are absolute diehards.
They couldn't get a TV on it, and it's kind of ironic that they win the last game.
Yep.
And I wanted to give them a proper congratulations on LSU being national champions of a college baseball, because we kind of skimmed through that last week. They look so good. There wasn't too much to talk about. But great win over Coastal Carolina, and congratulations, guys.
Now, I'm going to look around before I say that the show is over. Does anybody have anything else to add? No. Anybody have anything else to add? As I said, now, Fred, I'm glad. I am actually glad that you mentioned that, because I meant to write that on my notebook today, and I personally forgot. So, well done there, Freddie. You really pulled yourself up by the bootstraps.
And I'm mad because that was the first thing I wanted to talk about, because I knew you were going to talk about D-Wayne at the end.
But we do want to thank Chad for sitting in. As always, we thank everybody for listening. If you enjoy this show, please tell a friend. Tell them they can find this program wherever they find their favorite podcasts. So, for Mr. Happy, Chad McCubbin, and the fabulous one, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody.